It's the Low Score Podcast with Bobby and Jay.
Cave Johnson here, introducing the consumer version of our most popular military-grade product.
Hello.
The turret. How do we get so many bullets in them? Like this. Plus, we fire the whole bullet. That's 65% more bullet per bullet. This is the same technology we've been using on robots for decades. Scares the hell out of them. They come in hundreds of designer colors, including forest, desert,
different
table, evening at the improv.
What idiot picked these?
Then we box them up and ship them straight to your doorstep so you can protect the things that matter most.
Good night.
Just try and get close to that baby. Your funeral. Cave Johnson, we're done here.
Remaining resolute and resourceful in an atmosphere of extreme pessimism, it's the Low Score Podcast with Bobby and Jay.
Portal 2.
Portal 2.
Portal 2, it's happening. It's happened by the time you hear this.
Yeah, so this podcast was strategically positioned right before the release of Portal 2. We'd hoped to do some sort of let's play Portal 2 as quickly as possible and then talk about it thing.
Right.
But both Jay and I are going out of town.
Next weekend, yes. And I also hope Portal 2 will be a substantial enough game that we'll need a couple weeks to make it through.
Right. If not to make it through, then to at least digest many of the things that it has to offer and to play the multiplayer.
Oh, gosh, and that's true. There's all the co-op and all that weird junk.
Because I ended up, I don't know if we decided, if I had decided by the last podcast, but I did decide on the Xbox 360 edition, so
yay,
we get to play video game together.
I like how I just said yay when, you know, gaming habits aside, probably not the version to get.
Oh, yeah, no. But I think we discussed at some point, it is more likely that the Steam version will go on some sort of super sale to pick up as extra.
Right.
Some point down the road than it is for the console versions.
It is my hope that by, let's say Black Friday or next Christmas,
I'll just be giving them away.
I still haven't played it. I bought Left 4 Dead 2 for $5.
I bought Left 4 Dead for $5 and still haven't played it.
Nice. Yeah. I've played it on the Xbox 360. You're not missing much. It's not my cup of tea.
The game has zombies that are being shot.
It does.
Low Score Podcast, episode 61.
A big episode 61. Bobby and Jay. Bobby, you're over there.
Certainly. Jay, you're over there.
I am. And, you know, we could actually be real, if we had portals, we could be really close.
Well,
if you had a portal over there and I had one over here.
Right, but think about how the logistics of getting those portals in place. One of us would have to have the gun and travel to the other person and place the portal.
But then we're done. Then you can just walk through the portals.
I suppose so.
It's only one trip.
Right. Assuming one of us doesn't screw it up.
Yeah. Ugh.
Now,
right, and like accidentally fire the gun midway. That'd be the worst.
Conceivably, no. Could you fire portals all along the way to like speed the trip up to get to there?
I'm not sure.
It's probably better just to take an airplane of sorts.
I would just take an airplane.
Maybe a vehicular car.
I mean, you could do that weird like portal jump trick where you know, because you don't lose momentum through portals,
right,
and just like go through an infinite loop of that going faster and faster and faster.
I would be afraid of dying at the other end.
It'd be really hard. You couldn't screw up.
I don't have the special boots.
I was going to say, you need those weird like foot braces things.
You know, foot braces, unexplained foot brace things.
Right.
But yes, so this episode is not about Portal 2.
It's not, but we mentioned it because we were very excited about Portal 2. So this episode's kind of inspired by?
Yes.
Inspired by us doing it now is inspired. It's like, well, I don't want to do it any other night this week.
Right.
Those are Portal nights.
Portal night. So, yeah. Jay, in order to prepare for Portal 2, what have you been playing?
So I played Portal.
Okay.
I actually my list of games played is pretty short. It was one of those times where I just finished Vanquish when we last talked, and I did not feel like playing anything.
I know that.
I tried going back to Enslaved, and I was like, I just play a lot of games similar to this. I tried playing some more Black Ops. I was like, I feel like this. I got the new Fallout New Vegas Dead Money add-on, which seems bad. like, I don't know if I'm going to finish it bad.
Bummer.
But it may have just been that I wasn't in that. Like, I played a little bit of Comic Jumper. Like, just like
trying to find something to play.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, literally 15 minutes of all this shit that I can't really talk about. So, finally, I settled on, I'm going to play some more Portal. Like, we were talking Portal. I was getting into Portal. Portal's coming. Let's play some Portal. So, I played through Portal again. But this time, I played it with the commentary on, the developer commentary.
Yes, I've not done this yet. I haven't done it for any of the Valve games.
If it is an incredible experience. It really opens you up to, like, I mean, it seems a lot of it is like game dev 101. Most of it is, especially in the early, the trial chamber numbered rooms, mm-hmm. is all about, okay, we want to teach gamers this mechanic, but like we kept having problems. So let's back up to how this room got to be that way. Like, first we had it set up like this, but players would, you know, work around it. Like, a lot of it's interesting. They talked about the transition from the early rooms are designed to have exactly one specific solution. We're like, you have to solve it this way or otherwise you will not learn the game mechanic. Please do not outsmart the game. Mm-hmm. Well, as the game goes forward, it's much more about, like, however you want to solve the puzzle, there are multiple solutions.
But really, there's only one solution.
Yeah. Well, there were a few places they mentioned. Notice there are, like, places you can break the game and, like, weird view, like, teeny tiny viewing angles you can shoot portals up to, like, actually skip steps mm-hmm. that they just left in. They were like, yeah, whatever. That's fine.
Which is where the best YouTube videos come from.
Exactly. In true Valve form, it's all about the design of the game. And a lot of it's about the aesthetic and how they ended up there. None of it is about the story, which would probably not surprise you. Like,
that game has a story such that you are in a place with portals.
Yeah.
That is the story of that game.
The only funny story part is the next, or it's one of the very last, like, little bubbles. So the way Valve developer commentary works is the game plays exactly the same, except there's these little cartoon word balloons that spin around. And if you fire at them, they start playing a little audio recorded message like you would get on DVD commentary. Some of them actually take control of your movement, so they will point you up. A lot of the running theme is like, it's really hard to get players to look up. So if we wanted to teach you how to look up, we had to put a whole mess of visual or audio cues, or like make it so that was the only way to solve the puzzle to get you to do that. And it would like pan up and show you, you know, stuff like that. But the funny story one is, I didn't even notice this, but right before GLaDOS's room, you can actually see GLaDOS. There is a random computer desk with a red phone, and Gabe Newell comes on. He goes, the story part here is we imagined it was someone's job to just sit there, and if GLaDOS went crazy, they would pick up the red phone and start making calls. Obviously, this did not go as planned. Like, that was the whole little message. That was very funny. But it's really worthwhile. So worthwhile, in fact, that I end up firing Team Fortress 2 up and playing that developer commentary, which is also really interesting. I won't bore you, but they go into how they ended up with that, you know, really weird cartoony aesthetic. And mm-hmm. once they decided that, like, how would they go through that? But anyway, Portal still holds up so well as a great game. It is funny, having played it now, I think that's my fourth time through. Man, just real short.
Yeah, actually, so you had mentioned it to me today that you were playing it. I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to see if I can, like, beat it before the podcast.
You probably can. Yeah, maybe.
Unfortunately, I had other things that got in the way. But, like, I took, like, a half hour and just, like, sat down on the couch in our games lab with the Xbox version.
Yeah.
So let's see how many of these stages I can get through. And I got to, like, the speedy thing goes in, the speedy thing comes out in about 20 minutes or so. It's like, man, you could really blast through this game. If it had already been preloaded on my Mac, there would have been no time. I played through that game. I've probably been through it like 10 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I played it a lot. Like, I would just like sit down and
go through it.
It takes about, what, 3 hours?
Less than that. I got through it in under 2 hours with the commentary. So I'm stopping to play.
It must have been 3 hours the first time I went through the game.
Yes, yeah. It took me 3 or 4 hours the first time. But man, if you know the puzzles, you can get through that, mm-hmm. I think, hour and a half easy.
Which is one of the reasons that it's the greatest game of all time, I believe.
Greatest game of all time. Greatest game of all time.
Greatest game of all time.
Until maybe tomorrow.
Well.
Because Mortal Kombat's coming out.
Correct. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have high hopes for this video game. I don't imagine that it will be bad, but I don't imagine that I'll have my socks rocked off like the first time.
No, of course. I mean, it's still you go in the orange portal and come out the blue portal.
Right. And I'm super excited about that, but I'm not expecting anything more than that.
No. I do hope it somehow shed light on some more Half-Life. I'm getting ready.
It's time.
It's time. It's time for Half-Life.
It's been time for like 3 years, but it's time.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to go into all that. But anyway, so that's Portal. It's still great. It's, you know, if you are waiting on Portal 2 for some reason, why not play some Portal?
Cool. do you want to mention it now with the potato sack thing and the Portal 2?
Yeah, I guess that ties in. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably aware, but there was this weird kind of short-lived Portal 2 alternate reality game.
Game.
Right. Well, you know.
Alternate reality website.
Well, there were like brief, like snippets before this, like some images that got sent out and people had to put stuff together and all this weird shit.
Okay. A last minute ARG.
So
it's like, send some developers some clues and then get them to post them on their websites.
So I'm trying to get to the webpage here. A few weeks ago, they launched this thing called the Potato Sack on Steam. And this was a collection of, I believe, 13 independent games that at first were just put together. Like, okay. So people were buying this. It was like 13 games for like $38, like really good price. And it was great games like Super Meat Boy and Bit Trip Beat and Audio Surf.
Toki Tori. Isn't that bird game on there?
Yes. Defense Grid. Like some really, really good games. So after a while, people noticed that these games, and even if you just own these games, were starting to update and started showing up with some weird Portal content. Like Audio Surf had a couple of Portal songs that were downloaded. A new weird, if you loaded up BitTree Beat, there was on the main menu, there was like a test option that flashed. If you went there, you got to this weird Portal themed level. So eventually it came out that there was this weird website with a countdown to tomorrow, Tuesday, where with the date the game was going to come out, along with a list of all of the games in the potato sack and like a countdown. And there was a weird little message like, you know, GLaDOS starting, calculations complete, you know, reloading new boot sequence. And as people started to play these three indie games, these bars associated moved up and up. And it was like, here's how many CPUs are currently playing. So everybody thought, long story short, that, okay, if we play these potato sack games, they'll release Portal 2 on Steam early. As of this recording, people have completed, I think, 9 of the 13 games.
Yeah, most of them.
And currently, 9 users are playing Portal 2. The big 0 has switched to a 9, and the ARG confirmed 9 users of Steam are currently allowed to play Portal 2 early, which is hilarious. So this was kind of a sort of clever thing, I guess.
Yeah, you know, as far as marketing gimmicks go, this is certainly not the worst. I think what bothered me about it was not that, like, here are the cool things about it. Number one, Steam was promoting a bunch of indie developers.
Total.
Some of them had been, you know, fairly well promoted previously, like things like Bit Trip Beat, Super Meat Boy, like well-known games. People were buying those in the bundle and then getting other things with it, like, you know, Amnesia, which they might not buy, or Reckless Disregard for Gravity, things like that. So it's totally cool that Valve was encouraging people to buy these games, support these games, such that, you know, they could technically, or whatever, get Portal 2 early. But the thing is, it never seemed like Portal 2 would come out early enough for it to make any sort of difference.
No, the way I remember it was, the middle of last week, some people started to feel like they might release Portal 2 on Friday. There were like weird hidden messages and stuff. And well, it was Friday when this page launched.
Right, that was the countdown clock. The countdown clock was to this page, which then announced that you need to start playing these games so you could unlock Portal 2 early. And then the little bars filled up and you could track the progress and see how much earlier it is. The latest estimates said like 1 o'clock this morning would be the time. Which, congratulations.
Yeah, you'll get to play sort of early, I guess. If you live on the West Coast, that's you might even still be awake.
Yes. But yeah, it didn't seem like the payoff for it was like grand enough for all the effort they put into the marketing thing.
No. And I also... And I think...
Go ahead.
I feel bad for people who paid the $40 to get all those games. They're like, oh, I'll get Portal 2 early. And then they are not getting Portal 2 early.
Right. A risk you take, I suppose. But it also seemed to me like this was a way for Valve to say all the people who pre-ordered for consoles, because I assume, I mean, if you pre-order for Steam, you bought on Steam, like you're not buying like a PC box in the store, most likely.
Probably not, although Amazon dropped it to 35. Right. A lot of places selling the box are really, really pushing that. But again, you are going to wait a long time then, at least till, you know, Best Buy opens.
Right. So the people who bought it for consoles who can't get it early because, you know, it's only on Steam early. I was wondering if part of Valve was like, let's see if we can get people to buy two copies. Like, if this game comes out early enough, what if we could get the person who was going to get the Xbox 360 version to say, you know what? I'm going to grab the PC one right now because I am that hardcore about it. Like, I can't imagine that would be a very big group of people, but it seems like they could suck out some people into it.
That's true. And I wonder if, going along that, what if they're not convincing somebody to buy two copies? But if you were sitting there like, yeah, I'm going to get PS3 version, or I'm going to get the Xbox version, I'll roll in the store and get it. But then you're like, wait a minute. I can like be playing all weekend if I get the Steam version? Well, fuck yeah. You know?
Can you cancel an Amazon pre-order?
Yes.
Okay. I did not realize that.
You can, until they charge your card.
That would make sense then.
They don't charge it until they ship it.
So you've pre-ordered it on Amazon, and then you're like, this game is out right now. Cancel. Yeah, so just buy it on Steam. Fuck it.
Exactly.
Yeah, very interesting. The marketing for this game between the weird PS3, get a free Steam copy thing, and then this is just all over the place. It's like, I don't know. You could probably just sell this video game, and people would buy this video game because it's going to be a good video game.
I know. I mean, I guess it is a big deal, so they're taking advantage of that in an increasingly complex market. I mean, not that they're direct competitors, but Mortal Kombat and SOCOM are coming out.
I think they're like, direct competitors.
Well, I mean,
basically the same game.
I mean that in a serious note. They're high-profile games, and there's like no games coming out for a couple weeks on either side.
That's true.
So, you know, it's interesting because a promotion like this appeals to the already faithful. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure. Thank you. I'm not sure how much attention they're going to get, you know, people going to buy other copies of this stuff.
Yeah. You know, who picks up Portal 2 not knowing what Portal 2 already is? No.
And I really go back and forth on the potato sack. Like you said, it's an incredible deal for consumers. Like, you get really high quality games for pennies. But, you know, you're also potentially being duped into buying games. You know, I think they really suggested, like, hey, buy the potato sack. Portal 2 will come out early. And that's not at all.
Right.
You just get cheap indie games.
Which is totally fine because the potato sack had been out for a while. Like, people were already buying
it.
Like,
a couple weeks, yeah. Before they even know Portal stuff. And I thought it was cool. So I did not buy the potato sack, but I already owned 3 or 4 of these games on Steam. And they updated with Portal shit anyway. Like, you did not have to buy some weird potato sack version.
That's cool.
Yeah. To get the extra stuff. And they did build, like in BitTrip, it's really a full new level. I mean, putting songs in audio surf is one thing, but...
Right. Actually creating new content is another.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
It's neat. It just seemed like kind of last minute thrown together.
Yeah, super unique. You know, it just seems like ever since I Love Bees, people keep trying this stuff and not really delivering anything super interesting.
Well, you know why.
What's that?
Because bees hella rule.
Bees hella rule, Buzz.
So I've played some interesting stuff. I'll save the real video game that I played till the end.
Okay.
I got my hands on two things that I've been meaning to play. Actually, I haven't talked about this at all, but in general, I have now experienced a Kinect.
No shit.
Yes, sir.
How is that?
It works. Like, it's totally fine. The only
game I use it at a Best Buy.
Yeah.
And it was okay.
So we have a Kinect in the lab. First thing I do in the Kinect, move the couch out of the way.
yeah, smart.
Standing in front of a Kinect in a room that's large and has an open floor space, like there's no chance I could fit one of those in my house.
Right.
Like it just proved that point. The menu stuff is fine. Like I would not want to use a Kinect instead of a controller on that. But I did play Dance Central, and that is the most important, because I told myself that I would not use a Kinect until I could play Dance Central with a Kinect.
Okay, so how was that?
It's cool. It's very, very cool. I am so glad that you guys convinced me not to buy a Kinect and Dance Central day one, because okay, I would have been bored with that game in an hour. Or let's not say an hour. How about like a series of 1 hour play sessions over the course of a week?
Gotcha.
Alternating days or something like that.
And it's not like, I feel like the music is too expensive in that game to think the DLC is any real solution.
Right.
Like to make it, you know, to fix a longevity factor.
And I mean, the dances are hard. Like the routines are quite really difficult. Yeah. I played a handful of songs, played Lady Gaga, Soldier Boy, something else. And I was like, well, I'll just like see what one of the harder songs is like. Basically fail. Like if the game actually failed you, it would have failed me.
Were you playing on whatever easy difficulty is, or?
So there are no difficulties. It is from what I could tell, at least, it is just the songs are ordered by difficulty. Oh,
the song is this hard. I gotcha.
Yes. So if you are not good at it, you might play the same like five songs over and over and never reach.
That is a bomber.
Yeah. As far as I could tell, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're listening and you've played a hell of Dance Central. But yeah, it's neat. Like it was fun. Like I can't describe it anything other than fun. Like cool. I'm dancing. I'm having a good time. I was also playing by myself, so I didn't embarrass myself too badly. I was like, this is neat. This is definitely like a neat, interesting toy. I really like the menus in the game. So like the way that they do the menus in the game is like,
oh, the slide. You don't have to hold your hand there.
Right. You like raise and lower your arm to scroll through the menu, and then you like slide your whole hand like you're smacking somebody across the face to either like go forward or select something in the menu, or like the other hand to go back. That stuff was really cool. I was like, man, I feel like I'm in the future as I'm doing this. I wish the real Kinect or the real dashboard interface was more like this.
Yeah, holding your hand out and waiting does not work.
I was like, this is taking so much longer than
just pushing a button.
And it's not like the controller is tethered to the console such that I would have to like move around the room. Like you just set it next to you and you're done. So,
right.
You know, I like the interface. It was a fun toy. I am so glad that I don't have one. I'll also say I also played DJ Hero 2.
Now, how was DJ Hero?
DJ Hero is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
DJ Hero is fucking cool. So GameStop is having a sale right now on DJ Hero bundles for $30.
Really?
Yes. Like up front in the like whatever like the new games on sale section that they have, where they usually have like a bin, you can get a DJ Hero, just like a straight up turntable controller, for $10 from the original game, and you can get DJ Hero 2 bundle for $30.
Whoa.
Do we need to pause this podcast so you can run?
I need to immediately go out and buy this game.
And I would say, like, if I didn't have access to it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because it's at the lab as well. I would go out and buy it. Like,
wow.
It is totally fun. The build of this turntable versus the first one seems like just like a little sturdier. The mixes were pretty good. Like, I'm getting the hang of fading and using the, I don't know, sound knob.
Right.
Whatever that is called. I don't know anything about DJs. like the weight of the turntable feels pretty good, and I'm finally getting like the hang of like scratching and holding my thumb on the side of it so that I actually have control over what's going on and moving my fingers around and doing a bunch of things at once. But yeah, that game is way fun. So if you had any doubts about it, it's $30 at GameStop. Go out and buy yourself one.
Yeah, I'd like to get it. I've only played it. I've never played the second one, but I played the first one for a few minutes, and it definitely seemed pretty solidly fun. I did not like, and did they fix this in DJ Hero 2? I didn't like how every song was like two songs.
Mashups, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I mean, like that's fine, but I would have liked a little bit more variety, and also like some shorter song options.
Yeah, some of the songs are really long, and most of them are mashups. So I wish there was a little more like actual DJ songs.
Right.
But that's kind of difficult to do because what you're doing in the mashup is you're fading back and forth.
Forth, right? Exactly.
So it makes sense in terms of the gameplay to do that, but yeah, like the songs are pretty good, like. Through and through.
Yeah, so yeah, I was impressed.
None of them are amazing, but the track list is solid. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I've heard of most of these songs, at least one of the pairing of songs.
God, especially for so cheap. That seems like, it's definitely novel. Like, it doesn't feel like Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, one might think, with basically being a spinning, like, Guitar Freaks controller.
I almost bought Guitar Hero On Tour Decades. Is that the DS one?
Oh God, yeah, dude, they are bad.
That was it. Was
DS ones?
It was $5. I had it in my hand, and I was like,
"Oh, I would buy it for $5."
No, this is not worth it. This is not worth the space in my house.
The one you want is the PSP one.
That's the Amplitude one.
Just Amplitude.
I don't have a PSP.
Oh yeah, well that's good too.
Solve that problem. But yeah, I played with those two games.
I'll have to check that out. Man, if it's really that cheap, I might just go snag that shit up.
It doesn't take much storage space.
No. So here's a game you've played, and I don't have much to say about it. Costume Quest. Beat that.
Hey.
That game's pretty fun.
All right. I was chewing on Ice Cube. Yeah, that game is pretty fun.
It is definitely, like, my first RPG.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways. And... boy, was I glad that game was short, because I was done with the combat at the end, because that game is easy.
Yeah.
And real repetitive. I mean, it's just, it could not be. There's like an attack and a special move for everybody, and that's it.
If the game were 15 minutes longer, I would say it was bad.
Yeah.
But because it's that 15 minutes shorter, it's kind of fun.
It is charming as shit, and like well-written. Like a real joy just to read and follow along with. Like, it's just stupid charming.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that they don't have the voice acting.
No. Have you played through the like Christmas add-on pack?
I have not.
I haven't either. Which at first I was like, oh, I could get through that. Nope. Get the rest of the achievements. And I was like, I just don't. Not right now, man.
Don't need it.
Not right now.
If you'll recall, I played at Halloween. Like, on Halloween.
Yes.
Which made a big difference because the mood and atmosphere was right for the game.
Yeah, I played it like in April.
You know, so it's the Halloween of the spring.
It's what you do. Those April fools. This is jokes. Tricks. I don't know. But that game was real fun. I ended up with it because it was on like some half-price sale one day. And I was like, oh, I remember people saying this game was pretty good. But I like it. It was a nice... as has been said before, a nice vehicle for Double Fine's talents. It made me kind of want to go and get some of their other post-Brutal Legend games.
Right. Makes me think about stacking.
Yeah, I've heard that's real fun. I would definitely like to check something like that out. But anyway, that's just more. I played that. It's done. You know, it's not bad.
Yeah. A bunch of games were on sale this past week. And this weekend,
past week, yeah, they
on Xbox.
So Xbox has been going real crazy on the sales. The if you don't know, there's like a sale every week for gold members. They've been doing that for a while, mm-hmm. And it used to just be like one game. Now it's been like a bunch of games. Like they did, like it was Battlefield week, so Battlefield Vietnam add-on and Battlefield 1943 and all of the Battlefield map packs.
Yeah, I bought the Vietnam.
Oh, did you?
I've not played yet.
Or they've done a bunch of stuff, and now that they've been having like big time sales, just like every other week it seems like, along with some 1 day sales. They had one on April Fool's Day. That's where I ended up with Comic Jumper, and like X Men was $2.50. I bought that, and a bunch of crazy deals. This week they had Limbo, Monday Night Combat,
Magic the Gathering, Snoopy Flying Ace.
Well, the Magic and Snoopy and a bunch of other games have been on sale all week.
Friday, you're talking about
the 1 day sale. Like I think Bionic Commando. Anyway, they were like five, like really.
Yeah, Rearmed was on there.
Were half price, like, just for a day. And that's in addition to, like you said, there's like 8 or 10 games just straight up on sale. I bought the first Halo Reach map pack, was half price. I was like, oh, I'll play that.
Cool.
Yeah, they had a bunch of other stuff. So, yeah, there's sales going on all the time. If you have an Xbox, pay attention. Especially if you've gotten it in the last like year or so and might not have gotten like Braid and stuff. Braid was $5 this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I nearly bought Limbo, but I decided I just don't really care about playing Limbo.
You'd like it. It's really good.
I'm sure. I don't know. Like the more I see of it, the more it turns me off. My friend like used it in her master's thesis as an example of. So it's basically like, this is a game of scripted jumps.
Yes. That's true.
And that kind of turned me off from it. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought about buying Rearmed.
Oh, you haven't played Rearmed?
No.
Rearmed kicks ass.
Russian Attack looks dumb.
Russian Attack looks real bad. Straight up bad.
I just want to play Shadow Complex again.
Yeah, man. You should. You get a chance to go back, get some more of those achievements, play through a second time. Start with the gold weapons.
Yeah.
Do this.
The game is fun. Let's see. I played Street Fighter 4 3D, whatever it's called.
Nice. Hey, I played a 3DS.
Hey, what'd you think?
Really good. it was weird seeing the 3D go in and not pop out.
And it makes a lot of sense for it to go in. Like, it looks right.
It looks right. It looks much better. And I felt it was one of those things that, like, I knew but didn't really think about until I was sitting there holding it. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
It definitely feels a lot more natural and less offensive than like going to the movies or something. And 3D is in your face. I'm not quite sure, like you, I only played the Pilot Wings little demo. I'm not quite sure what it adds. I mean, obviously the system looks very well and it holds great. I'm surprised how well the disc thing moves.
I really like the disc controller, disc pad, whatever it's called.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy with it overall. Again, not quite sure how the 3D is going to add to gameplay.
Right, that's the problem. So,
I think the most important thing was I did not find it offensive at all. It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't really see how it makes it better.
It does not detract from it.
No, at all, which to me is shocking. So maybe that's why I'm looking
up. It is a major leap. But the thing I noticed after playing Street Fighter 4, but especially in Pilot Wings, is everything in the 3D seemed to exist on like a plane of depth, like a very like specific.
Yes. It's
like this building is like starting to be rendered here, and like it just looks like things like the paper is layered on like layer after layer after layer, as opposed to like a dynamic depth into the screen that you might get on. You know, something like a Killzone 3 in 3D, where it seems like the stuff in that like has like full depth all the way down, as opposed to being made up of these individual panels or what cells or layers or whatever they are. But maybe that was just the way Pilot Wings uses it. I don't know. Street Fighter 4 3D.
How is that?
It is the best handheld fighting game I've ever played.
Sure.
Which is not saying much, obviously. No,
it's
not.
It's like, yeah, my response to that was like, yeah, better be.
Yeah.
like, otherwise they're doing something really wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there have been, I can't name a single fighting game on a handheld that has been any good.
You know, Super Street Fighter 2 on the GBA was not bad.
Okay. Good.
You could totally play that game.
The disc pad works pretty well for fighting
quarter circle forward. Yep. Punch. Yeah.
I try. You can play with the D pad if you want, but there is absolutely no reason you should ever do that because Yeah. You can't do moves. I played it. I don't know how you like turn it on or off. I was just playing the demo mode with the like super moves on the bottom touchscreen.
Yeah, I'd be curious how that works.
So, you know, I'm like throwing a fireball and then dude gets up and then I just press the button to do my super and it just executes it if you're close enough and he's not countering or blocking or whatever, which is cool because it allows people who aren't like expert Street Fighter players to look like they're playing at an expert level in terms of being able to pull off the technical accomplishments of these moves. It still doesn't help with other strategies in games, including, you know, countering and knowing distances of attacks and speed of attacks and all the things that really make fighting games intricate. Right. But it removes that barrier of entry of just physically being able to accomplish a move.
Yeah, I have no problem with it philosophically. I mean, I think it would be lame if I was playing online, I would turn off the setting. I would be like, don't match me with those people. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fine to have the option. I mean, especially if you just want to have fun on the machine. I really think it's fine.
But if assume that you are someone who can pull off one of those moves
without
thinking about it, like there's no chance you'll never not pull off a super.
Right.
Then what difference is it if it's just mapped to a touchscreen button?
Right. And but I'm not super good.
Ah.
See, if I was that good, I may or may not care. But I cannot confidently pull off a super move or even just regular combos with precision. So I would want to at least have the chance that I want whoever I'm playing with to have a level playing field to have the same potential to mess up as me. So that's why I would turn it off.
Cool. But yeah, it's neat. It looked good. It looked like Super Street Fighter with a couple planes of depth.
Yeah, I mean, that's neat. I mean, just looking at screenshots and videos and stuff, I'm shocked how good it looks.
And it really shows, I think it shows off, like, how much processing power is in that little sucker.
Because
it doesn't feel like a DS game. Like, it definitely feels like something new. Whereas Pilot Wings felt like a DS game with 3D added. Like, this definitely, you know, the rendering of it looks really sharp.
That's good. I wonder if it'll have the same problem that PSP had, where when I got it, I was like, man, this looks pretty good. And the more you played it, you're just like, ugh. Dude, and I'm not even – this is even before, like, you start playing PS3 games or something. You're like, this is just – because at first, like, this is almost like a PS2. And then the more you play it, you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's really jagged in places. And
really jagged, really terrible load times. Any, like, 3D game where you have to, like, turn around, the camera feels like it's so slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that this does not have that problem, you know, of it looking right now. I mean, it's so good, so close to, you know, your home console.
Yeah. What else?
I've been playing this, the weird Halo beta or Halo Reach beta version thing.
Okay, what is this?
So I got, if you haven't heard, they're doing one of those new other like Xbox dashboard update beta test things.
Right.
So I got in it, and for this one, they send you a free copy of Halo Reach.
Okay.
Which isn't really helpful because I had that game. As I'm able to talk about, it's funny. Apparently what they're doing is it's like a new disc format. And what I've heard, apparently on every 360 disc, like a lot of space, like over a gig, is dedicated to just like system files and stuff.
Wow.
And so they're trying to, yeah. So that's why if you like install your games, they're never more than like
6.8 like or something.
A little over 60. We'd like it can hold, I don't know what, like 8 point something.
Right.
I think a double side DVD can hold. Anyway, so they're trying to get rid of that or at least limit it is the thought. So they have to give you a disc that's in that format to make sure it works and stuff. But I saw what's so funny about this one was there's no, I don't, as far as I know, there's no other new features. The disc they give you is like fucking hilarious. It says, warning, do not enter this disc in a non-preview console. Doing this will disable access to Xbox Live and ban you.
Jesus.
And it straight up is like, Microsoft disc not for resale in huge letters. The smallest words on here are Xbox Preview Halo Reach. Like, up in the left corner. But it's basically like, GameStop, do not take these discs. Don't give people free money.
Yeah.
I also wonder if they will work afterwards. I also like the little paper that they give you, which I won't use the whole thing, but there's hilarious things like, here's what you should do for the preview. And it's like, play Halo Reach for an hour. play as many other games as you can. Play DV movies and use audio CDs. I was like, who does that? Who puts CDs in their Xbox?
I have no idea.
I was like, do I really have to do that?
Play audio CDs.
So anyway.
Burned data CDs.
I always find these betas to be a hoot. And I was like, you remember the last time they did it? I was like, I couldn't use the audio function for a while.
Because
like they updated the audio codec.
The chat server thing was busted.
Yeah. So I was, in fact, secretly hoping I would get just another legit Halo Reach copy so I could like give it to somebody.
Well, you could give your legit copy to somebody, right?
Well, but I want the packaging and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I would happily give this away if it'll work, you know, after the update is applied, but
probably not.
That doesn't seem right. But as a consequence, I've been playing a lot of Halo Reach, and that game is still really fun.
I tell you what, last Friday, I played about 2 hours of Halo.
Halo 1?
Yes, the combat evolved.
How was that?
That game is slow. So we played multiplayer for most of that time, and then we played the opening chapter, which looks awful.
Looks like ass. Can you play local co-op in that game?
The split screen? Four-player split screen?
I'm in co-op mode, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? That's great.
Yeah, it's a split screen, top-bottom, local co-op.
That'd be fun as hell. I would do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to have someone else to run through corridors with.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but it looks bad. Like, play some Halo 2 right afterwards. It's like, this game looks 1,000 times better.
Yeah. And it moves so, so slowly.
Mm.
And we didn't know where the dash button was or the run button.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. It was like, what was it, the white button? Or, oh, no, there is no dash.
There is no dash.
Of course. Duh.
White button, I believe, is grenades on the original. We were just playing it on 360, though.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that series has evolved in a lot of ways.
Ba-dum-bum. Thanks. Yeah, that's why people talk about a remake of that game. I was like, you would have to remake that game into a different game.
Yep.
That would be the way to make that fun.
Shorten it, maybe?
Yeah.
Super speed mode?
Yeah, some of the set pieces I remember being okay. But as I've said before, like having played 1, 2, and 3 back-to-back, the jump from 1 to 2 is one of the biggest jumps in series,
mm-hmm.
like ever. Like, whoa!
Yeah.
Like, Halo 2 still looks pretty good.
That was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Halo 1 is, okay, we're going to try this Halo thing.
Halo 1 is, oh, let's go into this new base. Oh, it's exact same layout as the other base. Oh, the flood came again.
I'm going to run this way.
Hey, remember what's not fun? Fighting the flood.
Oof. I'm going to run backwards.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Lastly, unless you have anything more to add about Halo Reach.
Nope.
I played a real video game. I played a video game-ass video game.
Oh, right.
I played Darksiders.
All right, let's talk about Darksiders, a game that I... with great patience beat.
Yes. How long ago did you play? I was going to go back and listen to the previous podcast, so I had your commentary.
I want to say it was close to a year ago. I can look it up.
Yeah, I don't
see what last time I put it in my system. Because I tell you, the last time I put it in my system is the last time was when I beat that game. I was like, done.
Yeah, so I don't remember anything you've said about this game, so all of my comments will be...
Okay. I mean, I'm a pretty bad memory, so I remember what I said. It's Zelda, though. I know I said that.
Way more than Zelda, it's God of War.
Yep. It's Zelda and God of War.
It is Zelda and God of War a little like Panzer Dragoon sequences where you're flying and shooting things?
Very few. Okay, I last played it in September.
Okay, so that's not terribly far long.
No.
That's not terribly long ago. That is what
I wanted
to say.
That's not terribly far long time.
That's not terribly far away in the temporal alignment spectrum. But yeah, so this game, Xbox 360, did it come out elsewhere? I don't know. Not important.
I know it came out on the PC and the Xbox. I don't even know if it came out on PS3.
So it is structured like a... I think it's way more God of War than it is Zelda.
But it is.
The temples are Zelda. So you play as this dude, War.
It did come out on PS3.
One of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yep. not quite the God of War.
Right. Even though his name is War.
Right. Don't get confused. And he is like an immortal.
He is some sort of link between the human world and the underworld.
But he's not, in fact, a deity.
But yeah, I don't really care what the story is of the game. Like, some shit went down and then it was 100 years later and you have to like find some dudes in some temples and kill them so that you can do something else.
The story's not good, but I remember it being more interesting, like surprisingly interesting by the end.
Okay.
I was like, okay. How many of the four temples have you beaten?
I have beaten, I think, two.
You have a lot more game to play.
Two of the four temples, and it's about 10 hours.
Yeah, it's a long game, like way longer than I would have thought.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. I can just like knock this out in a weekend, right?
Nope. It is substantial. It's fun as shit.
It is.
But now, I remember that game having like as many fun moments as there were, a lot of throw down my controller in frustration, fuck this game moments. I felt like the difficulty was really, really, really uneven.
Yeah, very uneven.
Like, there were parts that were impossible, and later on there would be parts that were really easy. Like, I remember boss fights in that game where I just wanted to never play video games again, and ones that I beat my first try. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is going on? Like,
yeah, so I'll describe just briefly, like, the structure of the game. And how, like, its mechanics and stuff. So just like God of War, like, you have a handful of different weapons that you can use, and you have some items like you would have in Legend of Zelda game. So, like, your main weapon is a sword, but you also have this, like, scythe thing that you could throw that does, like, damage around you. You get effectively a boomerang, like, I don't remember what it's called.
It's a boomerang.
It's a boomerang. You get a boomerang.
Boomerang,
a
sword, and a scythe.
Yeah, and you can use that to target things. You get a big-ass glove.
Yes.
Which you can use to power punch things. You get a horse. I'm at the part where you get a horse.
The horse is great.
And just like Zelda, unlike Zelda, the horse is actually useful because you can do way more damage while you're riding the horse than you can just on the ground. Because you can like blast through groups of enemies. And they throw enemies at you. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and it's relatively easy to attack while you're on the horse. Very unlike Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just swing your sword and you hit lots of stuff. So basically the game is structured like you'll fight a bunch of enemies in a big group. They throw different enemy types at you, ranging from stuff that's really easy to beat to, you know, a super tough guy, like a tank type dude, like paired with a bunch of other guys. You Z target them effectively.
Yep.
You smash all the buttons like you do in God of War. You can do like some super moves like Poseidon's Fury or whatever. There's one of those. And
yeah, the combat is just exactly God of War.
Which is to say, you know what?
Good. It's fine. That's no problem.
That's the button mashing kind of combat.
Way more fun than Zelda. Structurally, it's just like Zelda. But
yeah, structurally, it's just like Zelda. So
to the point where you are finding pieces of heart.
Yes, you're finding life shards, pieces of a skull.
That's right, pieces of skulls.
Yes,
four skulls make a full skull, and that's your life.
Yep. You go into a temple. During the course of the temple, you will find a map. You will find some new weapon that will allow you to proceed to new areas of the temple.
Mm-hmm. And then that you will also need to use against the boss of the temple.
And then in the end, you fight the boss and then you get warped out of the temple. And then
I don't know if you specifically need to find a big key, but the main door is always locked. You need to do something to unlock it.
Yeah, there are keys in the game.
Yep.
But that being said, I love like the temples in it. I think they're really, really well designed.
They're the best part. Yeah, they're really good.
This is one of the best Zelda games I've played. Like,
ever played? It's like, you know, have you been wanting an quote unquote adult Zelda since Wind Waker?
Yep.
Well, they made it.
They did.
It's called Darksiders.
And the temples, so there are only four temples.
Yeah, there's like three more though after that.
Oh, are there?
Yeah. Like the end game sequence is really, really, really long.
Okay.
Oh, and just like Zelda, there's one incredibly long, annoying temple. I think it's like the first end game temple.
So here there's the Twilight Cathedral.
Yep.
There is the Hollows, which takes place in a subway system.
Right.
Like a ruined subway system. There's the Ashlands, which takes place in the desert, which is the one that was my fuck this game moment. It was my first real fuck this game moment. I'll get to that. The next one is called Iron Canopy and the Abysmal Chain.
Yes.
And then there's the Black Throne and then Armageddon. Yeah. So I'm through the Ashland. So I'm through chapter 3 of the game. 10 hours.
Nice.
But I'm having, like, it is a super video game. Like, you light torches and things open up. You light torches and then you throw the boomerang at the torch and then the bomb and you get the thing to explode.
Yep.
It takes in some cues from, like, Prince of Persia because you're doing wall runs.
Oh, yeah.
And then it has, like, God of War climbing sequence type things where, like, you're climbing on whatever textured surface that is the surface that they decided that he can climb on for some reason.
Right.
You're just super playing a video game. I really like it for that reason.
I remember one of the things I said was playing through that game made me really, really, really want Darksiders 2. I feel like there's some clunky stuff about that game. Not so much. I think he controls really well. I feel like it looks kind of bad. I like the art style, but everything seems really jaggedy and janky.
Yeah, it seems like the art style is not so much intentional as it is just like an artifact of what they were able to accomplish.
Yeah. It's almost like, was this originally a GameCube game? Like, what happened?
It doesn't look that bad.
It doesn't look that bad.
But it definitely is like, here are the models we care about rendering. Right. Here's the background that we don't give a shit about.
But I also just felt like for every couple of really fun parts, there was something that I just really hated or found really frustrating and stuff. So the most, I wonder if you'll find that more as you play the game.
The most tedious stuff in the game that I've encountered so far is in these little, like, over hub world sections that they have before you actually go into the dungeon. You have to unlock, like, this big monster dude who's, like, blocking the way. He's the gate. And he's like, if you want to unlock me, you need to go into, like, this, like, I don't know what the world they call it. Like, everything turns kind of red, and there are four red portals around the area.
Oh, yeah.
You have to dive into them, and you go into a battle arena. And there's a specific task, like, kill X number of people using only block counters.
Yeah, you do that a couple times.
That is not fun at all. No. Like, there's absolutely zero reason that video game needs that. Because it's not like the game is short, so they need to artificially lengthen it.
No, it's plenty long.
And those are super tedious. And, you know, if you have something that's like, do all this in 5 minutes, or you have 5 minutes to do this, and then you fail in the last 30 seconds, do it again.
Fuck you.
5 minutes. Yep. And it's a long 5 minutes, too, if you're trying to do something like, keep, like, these, like, six dudes alive while other dudes come into the arena, and, like, those dudes try to fight the other dudes.
Yeah, you've got to be really patient. And I felt like there were some enemies, especially later on, that really punish you for getting hit, like take a lot of your health away.
Yes, yeah. Some of the big tank guys.
And there's one of the things I don't like. There's nowhere, never, 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 never in the game is there like a fairy fountain or like an inn where you can just go and get your health back.
No. Well, so they have chests.
Yeah.
They have these green chests, yes. Like God of War style.
But everything's just one use.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you might say, like, I'm going to come back to this a little later because I don't need it right now.
Then you're worried because, like, oh, but what if that has a piece of skull in it?
Yeah. And just like God of War, when you open a chest, like, you fucking open a chest. Like, punches the chest and then, like, rips the lid off.
It's great.
But, yeah, my two fuck this game moments. The first one was, like, I'd fight a bunch of dudes like in a tiny little arena thing, and then I would get a key and it would trigger some other dudes to come and kick my ass. I don't remember what the case was, but I could not like well enough execute like on the first part of it. Like I had basically had to do the first part of it perfectly so that I had all of my health to take it into the second part, because the enemies in the second part were so strong and had so much armor that like they were really, really difficult to fight. And it wasn't like there was a strategy. It's not like, oh, if you just like use this, you know, boomerang thing on them, then you can weaken them or whatever. It's like, right. You just need to like dash around and not get hit and wail on them as best as you can. And that's the thing that I dislike about the game. Like, I feel like I'm given very little in the way of weapons that really help me deal with a certain type of enemy. Like every enemy is just mashing on buttons.
Yep.
And then there's ground combat and there's air combat, but I never find the air combat to be very good.
No, it's awful. I used the scythe a lot. Just because I, especially when I started having health problems, I'm like, okay, this is not as strong as my sword, but it knocks people back. And especially if there's a lot of guys, I'm like, okay, well, I can just swoosh around and kind of clear myself some space to go run away.
Yeah. You can also turn into a raging demon.
Yeah.
You get that later in the game, and that's pretty awesome.
That is super fun.
Because you can kick that
helps. That helps you out of some sticky situations too.
Except there's a problem with that. Because if defeating an enemy triggers anything in the game and you're in the demon mode, then they get out of the demon mode immediately.
Immediately. They waste all that.
Yeah.
I hate that. I've used that on bosses and then like I'll kill it real fast, but that was only the first form of like three forms.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh man, if I knew the first form was so easy, I would not have done that.
Yeah. Other problems that I have with, the other fuck this moment, and this was the first time that I emailed Jay about playing the game.
Right.
There's an area where it's in the desert, and you have to move from platform to platform across the sand. And if you're out in the sand for too long, this worm that's digging its way through the arena will come up and grab you and eat you.
And you're done. Like, you just die.
Yeah, you die.
You don't get hit real bad. You die.
You go back to the beginning. And I played for at least an hour on this little thing. There's basically, like, I think there's like six platforms that you move between. And I can get between most of the platforms. It takes a long time because you wait for the worm thing to get to the other side of the arena so you can move quickly. When you're in that mode, like, you can't jump because you're in the sand. Like, you can jump a little bit, like, but you just jump straight up. You hop. So there's no quick way to do it. So basically it's like perfectly time running to the next platform. I had some where I thought I was really close to the next platform, and I jumped, and instead of jumping onto the platform, I just jumped straight up, landed, and then he got me.
Oh, that's awful.
There were a couple times where I got right to the end, like one step from being on land, and you can't see behind you because, you know, the camera's facing forward, so you're like, I have no idea how close I am. And I got caught, like, right there at the last second, and this is after, you know, each time through takes a couple minutes of patience. Not fun.
I'd remember dying a bunch on that part too. I don't think quite as bad, but God, it's just one of those things where you have to be like, okay, I just gotta take it slow. Just gotta take it slow.
Yeah.
Just gotta like really be hyper conservative until the worm is as far away as possible before I start running.
It'll take a long time, but it won't take as long as trying to do it quickly and poorly.
Exactly. Exactly.
A couple other weird things. Number one, it does not save your controller inversion.
Yes, that is true.
That is very strange.
Really annoying.
Every time you start up the game, you have to go and invert the y-axis again.
I recently learned at the system level of your Xbox, you can set your default control to inverted. Huh. And it will do that for every game.
That is great. Yep. I need to do that.
It has been really handy. I forget where it is. It's in the system settings somewhere.
There were a couple times in the game where I checkpointed and then I died and I restarted at the checkpoint. And then I died again, and I restarted at the previous checkpoint.
Huh.
Yep. That's strange.
That is really strange.
It's happened twice, in like two separate places. I don't know. So when you die, there's like no like death animation or anything. It's just like the last second that the HP is taken off, it goes to the like restart quit game.
Right. It's like done.
If you're mashing on buttons and pressing directions, you can easily accidentally quit out of the game.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Because you're like, I'm dying. Like, you don't even notice you're dying. You're like, I'm dead. Oh, what? Don't quit game. The one thing I have to say for it that it does really, really well, hotkeying weapons to the D-pad.
Yes, the D-pad. It's the trigger
buttons. Like, that is how you handle it. That is how... Mm-hmm. The dudes that are making Magicka need to go and look at Darksiders and say, this is how you can hotkey eight different things really quickly, really simply to, the color buttons and then the D-pad.
Yep.
I'm very impressed with it. Like, there's never any frustration where I'm trying to switch weapons and I'm not doing what I want to.
It switches fast. There isn't like a switch animation. It's just like, zoom.
Yep.
Okay, now you're using that.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm excited to see when we next check in, see how far you've gotten.
Oh, I didn't realize it was so long.
I know. It's long. You'll make it through.
I'll be fine. And some news music.
Yeah, yeah, we got a little news this time.
I do kind of miss when we played music throughout the entire show, but that was a pain in the ass to keep track of. And I don't know if it ever added anything to it.
I don't know. It's nice. I like that we've got our themes.
Yeah. Works just fine. But yeah, it's news time. We haven't done news in a little while, and it seemed like there was enough stuff worth talking about that at least prompted discussion, not like breaking news.
Yeah. So let's save the big one for last. Yeah. And last, I've kind of got four things here. The first one I want to talk about is Rock Band 3 is now $20.
That's super cheap.
They just across the board say it's $20. That's the price now. This is, of course, shortly after Harmonix bought itself and is now an independent developer.
I would like to buy me.
My only guess is that they're like, all right, well, music game sales are slowing down. Rock Band 3 did not sell, you know, like it was in the heyday of Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
So like, fuck, let's take a loss. Like, we make way more money on DLC anyway, right?
Right.
So let's just get this game in people's hands. Especially since how many motherfuckers have some guitar or some Rock Band 3 compatible controller in their house? I would think a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, the reason not to buy Rock Band 3 is I'm burnt out on the Rock Band series. Don't feel like shelling out $60. Because, like, Rock Band 3 obviously is the best of the Rock Bands. Like,
absolutely.
You should get rid of Rock Band 1 and 2 and just have 3.
Exactly. Once you rip all that music.
Did they drop the bundle prices?
As of now, I don't think they have dropped. Well, remember, there were no Rock Band 3 bundles except for the keyboard bundle.
Oh, that's right.
But have they dropped the prices of the instruments? I don't know.
Because, like, I kind of want to buy new drums. My Rock Band 1 drums suck.
Oh, yeah. The Rock Band 2 drums are great. No, they have not. At least looking on Amazon here.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good price for that game.
Yeah, it's like a really, really good price for that game. And definitely like a no-duh type of thing. I think even if you have a mild interest, the set list is so good and the control interface is so good. Rock Band 3 is worth having around. I mean, even if you only play it in like party situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is great. Interesting news. I hope it works out for them commercially. Okay, hey, do you remember Mega Man Universe?
I do. This is the weird Mega Man mix-up game.
Yeah, where like you're going to play as a bunch of different Mega Men, including the weird guy from the American release of the original Mega Man. You're going to be able to like make your own levels, and you're going to play as like Ryu and other Capcom people. And it was like this weird, crazy 2D Mega Man game, and it's been canceled.
Good riddance. That game looked dumb from the get-go.
It kind of looked interesting. Like, I liked that they were doing some after going back and making two classic Mega Man games. I was like, okay, you're trying something different. That's not just like Mega Man X. Like, it seemed like an interesting concept, but it also seemed like I wasn't ever quite clear on exactly what that game was.
Right. To me, it always seemed like, fuck it. I don't know what the... Let's throw everything we have at this game. Like, you know, we're not going to create like levels that are like solvable. It didn't look like they're creating levels that were solvable by, you know, switching between characters, and you need to use like this person here. It was like, hey, I've just played Mega Man game as all these different guys. Do whatever. The art style is like kind of weird. Like, doesn't look super modern, but just looks like a little rounded. I don't know. I was never impressed, and I was never, ever interested in this game. From the teaser thing that they released, where it was like the toys coming alive, and to any of the screenshots they showed of different characters in the Mega Man stages, it just looked dumb through and through. So I say good riddance.
Yeah, I'm not super crushed.
Bet you didn't know I was that passionate, did you?
I didn't. Wow. Let's talk about Street Fighter 4.
It's in 3D.
Right. Well, no, we already talked about that. If you remember, a couple years ago, there was Street Fighter 4, right? And then last year, there was a Super Street Fighter 4.
Yes.
Which added a fuck ton of new characters.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, got rid of a lot of the single player bullshit and made the online stuff a little better. Okay, well, now there's yet a third edition just to bring back the old Street Fighter tradition of making it confusing as fuck by having multiple editions of the same fucking game. Street Fighter 4, I'm sorry, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition is coming to your house in June.
So this is some sort of third strike, you would call
it. It's a third strike.
So three strikes.
Street Fighter Third Strike is coming out in two ways. You'll be able to buy it on disc. If you didn't buy Super Street Fighter 4 or you just want the disc, which will cost, I bet, $40. And then for $15, if you already have Super Street Fighter 4, you could buy this. If you have Street Fighter 4, there is no update. You have to buy the disc. What do you get for your money? Great question, Bobby.
What do you get for your money, Jay? What is paying money?
You get four new characters.
Okay.
You get Yun and Yang, who first appeared in Street Fighter 3, and then Evil Ryu and this guy named Oni, which is an evil Akuma. I'm not sure what is different. I hope they're not just palette swaps. They're probably some balance thing, but I'm sure they both do dragon punches.
That doesn't sound like a particularly good value.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, good.
All right, I kind of lied. There's not. I mean, there's some balance changes, which I don't know a whole lot, but I don't know if they're universally loved, which may create a weird split. Like when Super Street Fighter 4 came out, everybody was like, well, this is the version.
Right.
I'm a little worried that these changes are not significant or positive enough to make people think that this will be I wonder if there will now no longer be a definitive Street Fighter 4 version. There's like updates to the replay channel. I think there's like more downloadable costumes that they're either going to sell or it's coming with. I'm not quite sure.
So when they released Street Fighter 4, that was $60, right?
Yes.
And then when they released Super, that was $40?
Correct.
Okay.
And that had like 10 new characters, I think.
Right. It was significant.
Yeah, it was significant, and just it had a little bit of balanced stuff. Like I said, the online was a little bit better, a little bit smoother. But that seemed like it made sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's very, very strange.
$15 is a lot. The only thing that's good about the way they're handling the online is if you are playing the arcade edition, you can choose to still play online with people who just have Super Street Fighter 4. And obviously you can't use the four new characters.
So it's like you're just playing Super.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's not, which is, I guess, smart.
Yeah.
So they're not,
you're not
forcing this on you. They're making it super optional.
But then why?
I don't know.
Why buy?
I don't have a problem with the, I think $15 is ridiculous.
It just seems like they would have been better off just selling DLC characters, just like straight up, like nothing else.
Yeah, I wonder if the problem with that is.
You still have
to, unless okay, if you bought a DLC character and I didn't and we played, if you could still use that character, I think that's fine.
Right.
But if like you bought a DLC character and then you could only play with people who had also downloaded that character. Mm-hmm. That's an issue.
But assuming that, you know, this is one of the game, like this is a game that is so well balanced, like through and through, that it wouldn't really matter if there was a new character introduced, because there would still be, you know, there'd still be something to like fight against that character with.
Well,
like,
and there's also 35 fucking characters.
Yeah, there's a ton of dudes already.
I am not in the like hardcore fighting game fad. I definitely have an enthusiasm for this game. But it is in a very casual,
right,
amateurish manner. I sure as hell don't need new characters. I have difficulty learning like three characters' moves, you know?
Right.
Plus, like well enough to do anything with.
Plus, you got Marvel, baby. And then this new Street Fighter Cross Tekken and Tekken Cross Street Fighter thing. Right. Like,
and all the like Blaze Blue crazies.
Yeah. This just seems like such a strange
and Mortal Kombat. I mean, don't count out Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that game looks cool.
It looks like Mortal Kombat, I guess.
That's why it looks cool.
Fair enough. But I thought this was a weird add-on. Not, you know, there's been a new rising trend of these big add-on packs along with like Battlefield Vietnam and stuff that I find is a weird, like super duper DLC type of thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that news is weird, but not nearly as weird as.
So weird.
All right, so Capcom is remaking Dead Rising 2, but you're going to be able to play as Frank West, the main character of Dead Rising 1.
It makes no sense.
The game is called Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, and it is only a disc. Now, I'm sure there will be like minor story changes and whatnot to the game, but it's more or less just Dead Rising 2.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, doesn't make any sense.
I don't like Dead Rising.
I mean, are people so hardcore? Okay, let's ask ourselves the question, who is this game for? Okay. Number one, it's for people who are so hardcore about Dead Rising that they bought Dead Rising 2 and they'll buy another Dead Rising because, hey, more Dead Rising.
And I think that's the key point. You have to be so enthusiastic about a game that you wouldn't play the game again. You would buy the game again.
Right. Unless they're catering to the holdout crowd who loved Frank West so much that upon hearing the news that this new fella, Chuck Green, in his yellow tracksuit or whatever, is going to be fighting zombies, you boycotted the series entirely.
Right.
And only now will you return to the stores to purchase Dead Rising.
But does that person even exist?
I don't think
so. Who's enthusiastic? Obviously, plenty of people like Dead Rising.
Sure. They're crazy.
Yeah, they are crazy. Who loves the Dead Rising fiction?
I don't know.
Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, this does not.
Even if, again, not having played very much of Dead Rising, I can't answer the question. Even if Frank West is a pretty cool guy or is like fun to play, to buy it again or to like be so in love with Dead Rising that you're like, favorite game ever. Yes, love it. Frank West is a king. And it's like Dead Rising 2 is coming out. And you're like, hell yeah, more Frank West. Let's do this again. Here's my $60. Hold on. Chuck Green. No, there's no Frank West anywhere in there. You're like, fuck you.
I'm waiting.
Even I love that. I'm waiting for them to retroactively put that character.
I'm starting a letter writing campaign.
Like, was there some Metal Gear Solid 2 style revolt against Chuck Green? I don't think there was.
Because the only difference is Chuck Green doesn't take photographs.
Who cares? Is he still chopping zombies up and making his own weapons? I don't know. I just thought this is bizarre as hell.
Yeah, Street Fighter 4, like, you're like, okay, they're trying to sell, you know, new characters. I kind of get all this. This, on the other hand, makes zero
sense. It's like, you know, in like Super Mario Galaxy, right? Like, you beat that and then you can play as Luigi. So that's fun. That's a fun little unlock at the end. And like makes the levels a little bit different, I guess. But it's free. That's just in the game. Like, that's not an incentive. You're just like, oh, okay, all right, I'll do that. Sure, why not? I'll check that out maybe. I really like that game. Why not go through the different characters? But, so, like, buy a whole nother disc and play through it. It makes no sense.
Luigi edition of Super Mario Galaxy?
Right. I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So now let's talk about the big news.
Big news.
The Wii 2, which I'm sure will be the real name of the console.
Wii as well.
Here's the game. So there's all kinds of rumors about Nintendo's next home console, right? And most of the news stories, just with no name having been leaked, refer to it as either the Wii 2 or the Wii HD. These are both wrong. They're too logical and too good. Can you think – I think this is the game, and we'll have to play until probably next E3. Can you think of a name for a home console worse than the name that Nintendo will settle on?
Ooh. That's going to be tough.
And bonus points if you actually get it right.
That would be the list.
Yeah.
Five reasonable and realistic game names.
Because they've got to be bad, but not so bad. Like, you can't name it like, you know, Cockballs. Like, they're not going to call it that.
Right, right.
But, you know, you could call it like, I don't know, like Unicorn Lake or something like that. That has some weird meaning. I don't know.
The Nintendo Box.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, well, Xbox is already kind of taken box, but like Nintendo's plastic.
Or it's got to be, or I think something douchey like the Nintendo Free.
Yes.
You know, free your mind and your hands.
Nintendo Sky.
Yes, absolutely. Nintendo Air.
Well, there's all their MacBook Air, so they.
Oh, shit.
But I don't know if there's a Sky.
That could be good.
The Nintendo thing that sits next to my TV that we don't use anymore.
Anyway, so Game Informer was the first to leak that they are pretty damn sure that Nintendo is going to announce its new console in June. at E3. Now, the typical way companies do this is you see it at E3, then the next year you see an E3 a lot, and then they release it that holiday. Mm-hmm. Do we think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense based on Nintendo's timeline, because they don't have the way of keeping their console alive like Xbox or like Sony or Microsoft can, with, you know, big downloadable updates, releasing this new hardware, which is taking place, or at least pushing off the new hardware. So I think we'll see a teaser for this first.
Yeah,
we won't see anything from Microsoft and Sony. Like,
no, they'll wait.
They won't even try to do like a fake, oh yeah, we got something too. Like, they're just wait.
They both want to see what Nintendo's doing, because say what you will, they're both outsold by that little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want that to happen again. It's also a perfect time, you know, now that the Kinect and the Move, everybody knows what that's all about. Presumably this will be better, you know, by nature of they can build the hardware to support it and don't have to like back end it in.
But that's the question though, because so
there's a lot of weird rumors about what the hell the control is going to be and what's it going to do. Some people have suggested like there'll be an HD touch screen on your controller. Maybe
that's not going to happen. I can 100% guarantee that is not going to happen.
It's
too expensive.
Maybe not a screen of some sort.
So the virtual memory unit for the Sega Dreamcast.
Well, probably a step up from that, but I don't know if it's a full, like, you can play games on a screen. Like a GBA screen?
Well, here's the, time and time again, Nintendo has failed to integrate their handheld with their console. Like, they really want to.
They do, yes. They want you to buy both.
They want you to buy both, and they want to have a reason for you to, like, you know, link up one to the other. I don't know if they have anything for the Wii that you could do that, but for the GameCube, there was the...
You can download DS demos from the Wii.
Okay, but you can't play anything on the Wii using the DS
Hell's
as a controller.
Fucking no.
Okay,
no.
I didn't think so.
There was also, the WarioWare DIY game, I think, had a WiiWare game component. I think it might have been free, where you could upload and download games you had made on there. I don't know if you could play them on the Wii. I think you might have been able to play it on the Wii. But there was some, like, not live connectivity there. Like, you still weren't – I still wasn't holding a DS and playing a game on my television.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was more than just – more compatibility there than other games. But anyway, that's just only one example. Yeah. Like everything Nintendo does, there's they do it once.
Right. And that's the problem. So, like, I could imagine – for example, when Apple has a new press release and they're releasing something, like whatever the next edition of whatever is, you can kind of guess what it's going to be based on what they've done in the past. They're building on top of it.
Yeah, and there's always leaks and stuff.
This, I can't even imagine what it would be. So let's just say that Sony has nailed the, like, holding a remote movement thing in your hand with the Move. Like, the one-to-one mapping, and they have the depth.
They have, but that's also done.
Right. That's done.
Like, that was done before it came out.
Before what?
I mean, even though it's obviously much better than the Wii controller, that style of gameplay I think was done and tried and true by the time it came out. It was an also-ran.
No, true. But that's what I'm saying. Like, so Nintendo can't just improve on holding a remote.
Okay, yeah, I completely agree with that.
I don't see Nintendo doing hands-free Kinect style something, because I think that is too expensive.
Do you think they'll involve a camera at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they'll involve a camera at all, which leads me to say, I have no idea then. Like, if it's not going to use a regular S controller.
It's not even worth talking about the rumors, because there's so many weird ones and dissenting. Like, you can look them up for yourself if you want to.
Yeah, but like, I'm just like theorizing what they could possibly.
Yeah, no.
So probably wouldn't use like a regular ass controller, because Nintendo doesn't do that anymore.
No.
It's probably not going to use it 3D, because all their effort of 3D is going into the DS 3D stuff. And I don't think enough people don't have 3D in their households to make that a worthwhile market to pursue. It's probably not going to be an HD version of the Wiimote as it stands now, or like the Move. That's probably not going to be a Kinect-like thing.
It's got to be better. It's got to be better than at least the Move. because otherwise they wouldn't show it.
Right.
Otherwise people wouldn't get excited about it. One thing I do think it's going to look great. Here's why. I think when the Wii came out in 06, it was a pretty different world. HDTVs were not ubiquitous.
Right.
And they were still relatively expensive. Now, that is not the case. Everybody's got an HDTV. Everybody is used to shit looking really, really, really good. And I don't think Nintendo can get away with a console not being really visually impressive.
Absolutely. But I don't think that they, based on the decision that they've made and the art directions that things have gone in the past, it may have the processing power to handle, you know...
Mario will look the same, yeah.
Yeah, but Mario will look the same, right? Like, you're not going to see...
I guarantee, be 100% backwards compatible with the Wii. Why is this? Because they staged a real coup in getting this system into so many people who didn't have video game systems. But I almost think it's going to be a harder sell to get them to buy two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you have to... I think a big selling point to people who are new is like, all your old games still work. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's like that group of people who is buying games now is thrust back into the PlayStation and then PlayStation 2, don't worry mode. And actually, really goes back to, you know, the Atari 7800 was backward compatible, 2600 games.
2600, like, yeah, exactly. And we all know how well that system did.
Yeah. So I do agree with you that it will have to be backward compatible in that sense. So the question is, will they just make it backward compatible and have the Wii Motion Plus essentially and keep on keeping on, or are they going to do something radically different?
I think it will definitely have motion control, but it'll kind of be like how controllers have rumble packs now. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, this is. And then there's this, you know, I think there will be some additional crazy way, whether it's hands-free, whether it's like touch or,
It's so hard for me to imagine Nintendo doing touch. In fact, it's really hard for me to imagine anybody but Apple doing touch.
Well, I mean, the DS last 7 years.
Like a small touchscreen, like interface to like, a television.
Oh, okay. See, because I actually have heard that from a couple places that you won't be holding an iPhone, but you will be holding a screen, and that's what you hold.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to imagine Nintendo doing it. It makes sense for me to imagine Apple doing that between an iPod Touch and an Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. They do that? It's just like a remote control?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean like as a gaming.
Okay, yeah.
You know, do stuff on this screen, do stuff on that screen. I can't imagine. Like what if it is just like a receiver dongle that you plug into the back of your TV and then you beam games from your 3DS?
Now that would be ridiculous if there was no console, the controller was the console.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of neat. They're download only. Jeez, like a weird app style thing. I think the only reason I don't necessarily disagree with you, but the one thing Nintendo has going for it is they make their own games, so they can make proof of concepts. I think it's the only way they can sell their concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they don't have to build the Kinect and then go like, "Hey, Harmonix, would you help us out?" Or like, hey, Rare that we bought, you are slaves, go make mini games. You know, Nintendo can take, you know, can really leverage their like game making teams and just make another Zelda game on it, right? And make some crazy new touch game on it and be like, try not to buy it now.
I'm beginning to be sold on this thought of touchscreen device. And
everybody's touching everything, man.
And no hardware, just a dongle, just, you know, HDMI. Because can do wireless HD.
I think that's really crazy. I wonder if they could get away without selling discs and stuff.
What if it's an app store? What if Nintendo's biggest competition is what their biggest competition is and is Apple? So Nintendo says, let's do this app store style. We're going to put a ton of games out there. You can play games on your TV, mm-hmm. like using the thing as a controller. Or maybe you can... I can't imagine that they would just have it be a standalone handheld. But like, what if they said, this is your interface to your television?
It'd be interesting. Well, you know what they've been so bad at in the past is their shop.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they've not courted good developers to the DSi or the Wii Shop, and the interface is terrible.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a really easy to solve problem. Tons of people have good online marketplaces. Just, I mean, look at iTunes or Steam or both and you're done.
Yeah.
Just make that.
I wonder if there's some limitation with being able to update the Wii software that just won't let them create a good shop experience.
Or maybe it's just not profitable enough. I mean,
yeah.
Oh no, that seems like a fixable problem. But anyway, stay tuned.
It's going to be really interesting to see where they're going. Speaking of interesting places to go.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you, sucker. Do you need another mule, Skinner?
Bullets.
Down on your new mud run.
I would just like to say that I hope my friend Aaron, who said he'd subscribe to the podcast today, I watched him do it.
Oh, right.
So this would be his first episode being listened to. I want to know what someone coming in episode 60 or 61 thinks of Mule Skinner Blues.
Mule Skinner Blues.
By the Fendermen.
Well, hey, Aaron, why don't you, where can he tell us? Email Bobby at when you see him.
Yeah, email me at in person.
and then you're good.
Yeah. So, Jay, you conceived of the list this week.
I did. Well, we were talking about Portal 2 and how this episode is Portal 2 inspired. And we're both really fucking pumped for Portal 2. So that got me thinking, all right, we haven't played the game, and neither of us know much about it. We're going to do a little bit of a media blackout. But we can talk about other games. We were really, really, really excited to come out and waited with bated breath for them to hit store shelves.
Yes.
So that's a topic of today's list. Five games you just couldn't wait to come out.
I have my list in hand on paper.
I got a list too. We both paper. Yep.
Both use the not computer.
There's way more. Oh yeah. Well, because I was just listing out a bunch. I would say the big thing about my list is fairly recent.
Yeah,
and I think part of the reason was older games. I wonder if I couldn't just remember, but I also just I think I said before at last week's list, I usually was, you know, the big games tended to stick around for a little bit longer, so it wasn't like, oh, I gotta get it the day it comes out. Sometimes I didn't even know like the exact date it comes out.
Right.
And I also, like, as a kid, like, when you're 7, you can't just, like, roll out and buy Super Metroid.
Right.
You know,
you
unless
have to
it's, like,
wait for Christmas.
Birthday. You gotta wait for Christmas. So these games are all when I had at least some sort of discretionary income of my own and could buy some games.
Yes. Cool. Yeah, mine are very similar, save for one, which was my earliest.
All right, well, let's start. I'm going to go chronologically. I don't know if you want to do the same.
Nope.
Okay. Then go for it.
I'm going to start with a game we've already referenced on this podcast, and that would be The Wind Waker.
Ah!
So having waited for so long between Ocarina and not having played Majora's Mask, I was super excited about a new Zelda game. I was excited at the prospect that it would be like the more adult version, or, you know, it would be just like Ocarina in its style. And then as soon as I saw that it was cel-shaded, I was blown away. I was like, I don't know, like this seems awesome.
Cool.
And crazy. And it looks like an interesting direction for this series, which at the time, you know, wasn't as sprawling as it is now. So it's like, you know what? Another new Zelda game. They're doing something different. You know, I remember seeing the displays for it in the store where they actually had, I believe they had like black and white displays.
Yep.
Because there's a part of the game that is in black and white.
Black and white, yeah.
And wanting to like run out and buy a new Zelda game as quick as possible. Especially, you know, the amount of time between the N64 Zelda and GameCube Zelda.
Well, what's funny is mine is also a Zelda game, but it is Ocarina of Time.
Aha!
Because we had, see, before, I was also talking about when we were, but we had Majora's Mask, we had the two Game Boy Color games, and I felt like, you know, I was excited about Wind Waker 2, but man, Ocarina, there had not been Zelda for a long time.
Right. That is a case, because I was thinking about that, where I did not remember being excited for that game. Like, I just had no memory of that coming out.
One of the first games I remember pre-ordered at a Best Buy, and like I remember going in and getting like a Ocarina shirt. Awesome. And like the guy had to go get it from the back, and it was in the big like shiny like hologram box with the gold card in there, and I was like, oh shit, like I remember pulling out of the car on the way home. I was like, not drive, so my dad was sitting there like, oh man, here we go. So it's nice. More moments like that, and that game did not disappoint.
Now that game is really good. I got that for Christmas. That was a Christmas game.
Christmas game, wait a minute, game,
like
yeah.
Many of those games.
What else you got?
Next on my list, the first midnight launch I ever attended, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Ah.
So I wasn't really into Grand Theft Auto when Vice City came out, despite that being a favorite game of mine and something I played actually this past week for
a lot of people were big in the dorms into that game.
Yes. I think the people who wanted it were like, yeah, I loved GTA 3 because I could, you know, go out in the streets and steal cars and cause havoc or whatever.
Right.
I fell in love with like the story and the missions of that game and like the actual structured part of it. And I put money down on San Andreas at the GameStop in Charlottesville. And I went and got my car that night out of the parking garage. And I drove there, did the midnight launch thing, basically ran back to the dorm and played for, I guess, like 3 hours or something.
Wow.
And I was just so, so super excited about it because by that point, the Grand Theft Auto series had really like established itself to me as something that I enjoyed. And that game did not disappoint.
No kidding. Next on my list, going chronologically, the original Super Smash Brothers. A game that like you made up in your head throughout your entire kidhood. They made it, I was so excited. And I remember that game, like a lot of big Nintendo games, came out on a Sunday. So I saved up for it. And then my school scheduled a band trip. It was in ninth grade that same weekend.
No.
So I had to like leave the money with my parents, and I was like, go buy this game. So then like on the bus ride back, it was just like, oh shit, do you guys want to come over and play some Smash? So then we like came back, ripped open that box, and played Smash like all afternoon. And it did not disappoint. Played that, man, a lot all through high school. I definitely remember that crazy moment of like, I mean, that game came out. I mean, now people make fun of it, and kind of rightfully so. It's gotten a little stale. I'll always have fun when I play it. But it was really super crazy weird.
There was nothing else like it.
No, not at all. So that was really fun at the time.
Next game on my list. I don't know, older or newer? I'll do a little older. Castlevania Circle of the Moon.
Ooh, good choice.
I did not play Symphony of the Night. So the last time that I had touched a Castlevania was Castlevania 3. I didn't play Super Castlevania either. So, yeah. Last time I touched Castlevania was Castlevania 3. And I was excited to have a reason to have my Game Boy Advance. Because Super Mario Advance, like Super Mario Bros. 2 or whatever, was not the reason to get one of those. Like,
no.
And I remember going to Target and buying the GBA and buying Circle of the Moon and going home and getting a big ass lamp to put over top of the GBA so I could see it and play the game.
That's awful.
And I remember I got the game, the GBA came out just in time for me to go to something called, what the fuck was it called? It wasn't Governor's School. It was the other thing that people went to.
Boy State.
Thank you.
Boy State,
where I met one of my lifelong friends.
Nice.
Mr. Cook.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know you guys met there.
Yeah, we did. We lived in the same dorm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember like being pissed because like, I got to go to this stupid thing. And I just got my GBA. Like, can I bring my GBA with me? Will people judge me if I bring my GBA? Like, will I be like an outcast, like a dork?
Totally. You don't know. Probably not the case.
I brought it with me. And while other people did sports and went to activities, I grabbed breakfast and went back to the dorm room and played Circle of
Castlevania. Nice.
Yeah. That game kind of did disappoint. I mean, it was awesome at the time, but looking back on it, it's
still pretty awesome, but the lighting is a bummer.
Right.
I mean, the SP and the DS really solved that problem. I mean, now it's totally playable.
Oh yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
I did not play it until I had an SP. Because I'd heard about the lighting problems. I played Aria of Sorrow first, which is a better game. Circle of the Moon is also hard.
Yes. I love Aria.
It's still great. Yeah, Aria is really good. Dawn of Sorrow is really good too, the first DS game. Mm-hmm. But that game really holds up. Unlike Harmony of Dissonance, which I thought was poop.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember thinking kind of eh about it.
Speaking of thinking kind of eh, the next game on my list is Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, I remember when you got that.
Much like Ocarina of Time.
Well, I guess not. I don't remember. I remember you playing a lot of that.
It had been 6 years since a Mario game. I think at all. I mean, unless you count Mario 64 DS, which I don't because I was a turd. That's a long ass time between proper Mario games. And if you remember, the last Mario game we'd played was Mario 64, like the greatest Mario game.
Game changing. This is how 3D platformers are done from now on for all time.
It was also a time when I'd had the GameCube for about a year. I'd gotten it the Christmas prior and it came out in August. And there was just a butt ton of poop on that thing. Like, there was just not really a lot of games to play besides Smash Melee.
And Pikmin was out early.
Pikmin was out, but I don't think I got Pikmin when it came out. I think I got it a year or two later. It was after I got this game. Like, I had the Resident Evil remake and I had Luigi's Mansion. I think those were the only three games I had.
Do you have like Rogue Squadron or whatever? There was some Star Wars, early Star Wars game.
I did not have that game, but yes, that was early. And there was like Wave Race, I think. But I don't think I had that either. Anyway, so this is the first game I was like, okay, here we go. Finally, Nintendo. I love Nintendo. Lifelong Nintendo. They're doing their thing. Mario's out. Let's do this. So I like pre-ordered this from Amazon. It showed up. It was like the first weekend of college that sucker came out. I think we got there on a Wednesday and it showed up at the mailbox on Monday. And I was like, yeah, Mario time. And I'm playing it. I played the shit out of that game and it's not the best. I don't think it's as bad as people say. I think the biggest problem with that game is there aren't enough levels.
Yeah, it's just kind of boring.
Like, each level has too many stars. It is too boring, but I still played the shit out of it.
Your away message always read Shine Get when it was time to play.
Shine Get. That meant it was a night. Yeah, many a weekday night was wrapped up by getting a couple stars while laying in bed. As John Bedard can probably tell you.
Yeah. I remember you playing because I didn't own Sunshine at that point, I don't think.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't make a mistake.
Yeah, it's too bad.
So there we go. Sunshine.
My next choice is a little weird.
Okay.
Because my excitement window for it was about like 6 days.
All right.
Final Fantasy 12.
Ooh.
So I was not someone who considered myself a fan of the Final Fantasy series in general. Like, you know, I'd owned previous Final Fantasies. I had played 10, a bunch of 10. I didn't get through it because my memory card died. But yeah, I was like, you know what? Like, Final Fantasies aren't for me. There's a new Final Fantasy coming out. Like, it takes place in, you know, the same old trite looking like fake medieval world. I just like nothing I'm going to be interested in. Until I saw the first, like, or until it was revealed to me that the gameplay of the game was entirely different and that it was using this weird gambit system. And it was nothing like any of the other Final Fantasies I'd ever played. Well,
the key difference, I mean, the gambit system is really great. But the key difference is they just removed the part where you hit X all the time.
Right.
The game just does that for you.
Right. They removed the... Because even Final Fantasy X had random encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, super weird when you look back on it. Because that game could render enemies on the screen in a way that earlier games couldn't. So it doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make sense that it didn't. But yeah, no, but in Final Fantasy 12, like, battles just happen. There's no battle subscreen. Battles are fast. Like, leveling up is almost fun. You only have to interact when you're doing stuff that matters. Like, through the battles that require no thought, they just happen. And they happen fast.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw that, I was like, I think I might love this game. And I can't remember if it was the night that it came out that they did the review, but I read Greg Kasavin's review. I was like, fuck it. Go into the store.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought it my way home for work that day it came out and loved it.
But yeah, that was a very short window of excitement, but that was like an intense burn. It was the supernova of excitement.
Along the same vein as Sunshine, Metroid Prime made my list. For many of the same reasons, had gotten excited about Castlevania, you know, and so, you know, actually wasn't a turbo Metroid fan yet, but just the way they had brought it back, and again, the early reviews for that game were so good. That was a game that I bust out to Barracks. I remember that night, and came back and played it, and a game that just, like, I could not stop playing. Still think that game is so good.
Yeah, that was the game that prompted me to buy. That's right, because so you had your GameCube. I did not have a GameCube when we first went to college. I got mine for my birthday, which was in October. Like, I'd like gone and gotten it over one of the fall break weekends or something like that. Yeah, and I bought that for Metroid Prime, having seen you play Hello Metroid Prime. Yep. And that was the reason to get the GameCube.
God, it was so good. That definitely made, you know, again, starved for GameCube games. You know, it was a pretty dark time because, like, PS2 was kind of still ramping up, waiting for the really, really good games to come out. Oh, man. I definitely remember being super pumped for that game. I can't remember a lot of games that I, like, actually, like, drove out and, like, the day of, like, oh, I got to go get it now. It was like, oh, I'll wait for the weekend or something. I mean, even now, like, it's rare that I'll pre-order or get a game release date. So definitely pumped about that. All right, here we go. Last game.
So thinking about my last game, I was thinking back on older releases that I kind of remember looking forward to. I was like, what is, like, the oldest game that I can remember looking forward to? I remember being super excited about Super Mario World.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have a Super Nintendo at that time. So
oh, yeah.
I just had, like, the book, like the strategy guide for Super Mario World. I was just looking at it. It's like, this game is going to be awesome when I go to play this game.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was the same with Mario 64, but I didn't get my 64 till a little later.
Oh, I got mine like right away. So, but like that one was just like, Nintendo's making a new thing. I'm going to buy it because I'm a spoiled kid.
Right. Okay.
I was at that stage of my life. I remember reading about Earthbound and being kind of excited about this weird game.
Yep.
I remember seeing Chrono Trigger in magazines. Like, I remember the ad for it was like this multi-paneled layout of just like the various places that you would go in the game.
Yeah, Nintendo Power did a lot.
I was like, holy shit, that looks cool. I remember seeing Star Fox. I'd be like, whoa, what in the world? But the one Super Nintendo game that I remember vividly being sold on because it was marketed so well directly to me was Donkey Kong Country.
Really?
Yes, sir. Because loyal Nintendo Power subscribers know that back in the day, Nintendo used to send out VHS tapes with promotions.
Yes, they did.
For their thing.
Some of the best viewing ever. A lot of that shows up on Everything is Terrible, if you want to go look up that stuff.
So I remember getting this a VHS tape that had green, like, rendered-looking leaves on it. Because back in the day, like, at that point, you didn't really see much stuff that was in, like, 3D, like, polygonal 3D.
No,
like,
no.
You know, there weren't lots of movies and all that. And I popped in that tape, and I was just like, oh, this is the most amazing-looking game I have ever seen in my entire life. Like, that was the first time I was ever really blown away with graphics.
It did look really, really good at the time.
Because stuff on the PC was stuff. Cool. Like, Doom looked cool, but it didn't look amazing because it wasn't doing, like, that, like, 3D style something or other.
Yeah.
And you know, they were talking about like this new company this company called Rare is back and they're making this amazing thing and they developed this technology to do this like fake 3D or, you know, 3D looking 2D stuff. And I just had to have Donkey Kong Country and I would just watch that tape repeatedly waiting for it. Yeah.
That is a good random pull. I you know, I remember playing a lot of that game, but I don't have much memories of like it coming out of the releases and stuff. So that's definitely a good. Nintendo was good at getting you excited in promo games. I almost put like Pokemon and stuff on here for that reason because of the heavy promotion, but I didn't get it again when it came out. A game I did get though, and the most recent game on my list is the original Guitar Hero.
Good choice.
That I was pumped for. So super having loved Frequency and Amplitude. You know, Love and Harmonix games and stuff. I was like all about it. Super excited. You know, love DDR. You know, love the shit out of it. Still playing a ton. I was like, oh man, it's coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. I love it so much. But Ed, you may remember. So it was pretty expensive. I think it was $80 when it came out, which was a lot. I mean, games were $50. We'd written a few editorials for the Cav Daily.
Oh, yes.
And so I tried to get a press copy. I called Harmonix and they were like, we've already sent out our press copy. Sorry. So I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll buy it anyway. So I drove out to the Best Buy, picked it up, and proceeded to totally freak out slash embarrass myself playing the original super doofus looking Guitar Hero. At least they like try to make them look sort of guitarish now. The original Guitar Hero guitar. First of all, it feels so small now.
Yeah.
Light and weird, but.
That is the epitome of plastic toy instruments.
A real transformative experience. Even though they were all covers on that first game, but playing songs that you knew and like, you know, having a really good difficulty. That was really the only games that you could really play by yourself because the two player mode was so crappy.
Yeah, you just pass the guitar back and forth. I remember playing it at your place for the first time when it came out. Like,
yep.
Just like wondering to myself, am I ever going to get good at this?
Yeah, like what is this? And yes.
I got fine.
Yeah.
I definitely learned how to play it and bought the other one.
But that's how, I played the shit again. I played through every song on easy, medium, hard, and expert. So like if there were achievements in that game, I feel like I would have done okay.
S rank.
Sitting there. I don't even remember what the last song was now. All I remember now is Green Grass and High Tides, which is the hard song on Rock Band.
Yes. I remember. Is there a Cream song or a Clapton song?
Oh,
was
yeah.
One of the finals.
Crossroads is pretty
tough.
Yeah,
Crossroads. That was in the hardest set.
But I wish I could remember. I don't think that is the hardest song.
Wow. I can pad while you go onto thegiantbomb.com and look up set lists.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah, because I remember going over to your house. I remember you like explaining how to do it. I remember doing the little tutorial thing. I was like, hold the button and strum. I was like, I don't understand.
Like, what? What are you? What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Do I have to press the button at the same time as I strum? No, I can just hold it. Okay. This is very, very confusing. Okay, I'm getting it. Never got hammer-ons, never got pull-offs. Stuff never made sense to me.
So I've got the sixth tier, the five songs, and they're all pretty hard. I think I was thinking of Bark at the Moon, the Ozzy Osbourne song. That was really hard. Texas Flood was also really, 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 really hard.
Mm-hmm. Good song.
Really good. The other three were not too bad. There's Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult, Frankenstein, and Cowboys from Hell.
Cowboys from Hell, that's what I remember. So Crossroads must have been in the previous grouping?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, this is great. Crossroads, Ace of Spades, No One Knows by Queens of Stone Age, Higher Ground, Spanish Castle Magic.
I remember Hendrix being paired with.
Yeah. God, this set list holds up, man.
Read the rest of the set list.
Okay, I'll go backwards. We've got Unsung by Helmet, Take It Off by the Donnas, which was really fun to play. Fat Lift by Sum 41, Cochise by Audioslave. I don't know how to pronounce that. Ziggy Stardust by David Bowie. Symphony of Destruction. I really like the song Heart Full of Black by Burning Brides. Stellar, Incubus, Hey You, Killer Queen, Sharp Dressed Man, Take Me Out. That was really fun to play. You Got Another Thing Coming, More Than a Feeling, Iron Man. You Had Infected by Bad Religion, Smoke on the Water, Thunder Kiss 65. I Want to Be Sedated, and it opens with I Love Rock and Roll, of course.
Man. That was
solid.
95% awesome songs.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously never going to hit the park, but all really fun to play again and again and again.
Especially because rhythm songs before that, yes, there was licensed music in Frequency and Amplitude.
Sort of, but it was like Paul Oakenfold or like Herbie Hancock.
You knew like
good songs, but you're not sitting there like, oh, I listen to all the time on my iPod.
Right.
Like,
you knew a handful of them, and the rest of them were like artists that you've heard of, but you don't listen to.
Exactly.
But this was like the first, let's play these songs, knock it out.
Right, because it's like, I know these songs, like for real know them.
Cool. Good list.
Good list. Good list. Good episode.
Great episode. If you want to continue listening to episodes, visit us, lowscorepodcast.blogspot.com. And if you ever want to comment with your lists, we've done a really bad job of getting the lists out before the episodes air, which was kind of the original point of the list, was to have
guest lists too, but we've kind of gotten lazy.
It's hard when you...
We've come up with the last two lists today.
Yeah.
Or like the last list was done...
Before we recorded.
We had to like sit there and write our lists out. At least it's what we did this morning.
Yeah. But yeah, you could subscribe that go to blog.
We're on Twitter. Bokista is you.
Yes.
Jay Ford is me.
Yes.
Low Score Podcast is both of us.
Us. The Nintendo Blue.
Yeah. What is that? What is that?
The Nintendo Blue?
Oh, the new console.
Yeah, the new console, the Nintendo Blue.
Gotcha. Yeah, wouldn't it be like, I don't know, like some other weird color name, like the Nintendo Saffron?
It could be, unless it was like BLU all uppercase.
Oh, no, that's too much like Blu-ray.
Oh, good point.
They wouldn't give that to Sony. The Nintendo White.
Nintendo Cordon Blue.
Cordon, yeah, there, we're done.
Do we have any other places that people... Oh, email us, lowscorepodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, we're on iTunes. If you want to subscribe that way, you just search Low Score, and then you scroll down to podcasts, and then we're right there.
We're the one called the Low Score Podcast. Okay, that's it.
That's it. Podcast over.